Hello everyone and welcome to another video game review for the Men in Tights podcast. Can you guess what game I'm reviewing? If it's not already obvious by what I have in the background and the t-shirt that I'm wearing and the thumbnail to this episode, I am of course reviewing Marvel's Spider-Man 2 from Insomniac Games, released October of 2023. I have already reviewed the first game in the series. I've reviewed it in 2020, 2 years after its initial release. And then I reviewed the Miles Morales spin-off game as well, which is my second most watched video on the YouTube channel still as of right now, and I think also my most liked as of right now as well, which I still don't know what I did with that video to get it. I don't know if it's the algorithms ain't working in my favor or what's going on, but appreciate everyone who has tuned into that video, and I hope I'll do just as well on this one. Initial thoughts. Thought it was a phenomenal game, and much like I believe I've touched on it in other video game reviews in the past, but it just feels like the sequels, like the second parts of a lot of these games, end up being my favorites. Like, you know, like I said with Uncharted 2, Among Thieves is my favorite, although after replaying Uncharted 3 again recently, I'm kind of swaying a little more into the Uncharted 3 being my favorite. We'll see how I feel about that again once I replay the rest of the series. But yeah, then with The Last of Us Part 2 has been my, as of right now, until they come out with Part 3 eventually, that's going to be my this Part 2 is my favorite, which I do plan on reviewing the remastered version that just came out. Been having a lot of fun with that one as well. Batman Arkham series, Arkham City is my favorite of that series as well. Of the THQ WWF series on the Nintendo 64, No Mercy is the sequel, that's my favorite. But yeah, Marvel Spider-Man 2 from Insomniac Games, and initial thoughts, like I said, phenomenal game, and maybe upon further replays, we'll see how I feel, but as of right now, it's very neck and neck with whether or not I consider this my favorite of this Insomniac Spider-Man series so far. But there are a lot of reasons that it could be my favorite. I mean, and I love Spider-Man. Spider-Man is my number one favorite superhero of all time. I used to say it was Superman, but reflecting a lot of things in the last few years, Spider-Man is my number one. I mean, like, I'm wearing the t-shirt right now, got the game pulled up in the background, the wallpaper on my computer is the shot of Toby, Tom, and Andrew from No Way Home when they're on the Statue of Liberty. The background on my iPhone is Spider-Man as well. Ringtone is a Spider-Man theme. Yeah, just so many things about Spider-Man that I just absolutely love. And also the Warby Parker, however you pronounce it, glasses brand. Whenever I get my eyes checked out this year to get a new pair of glasses, I'm going to be getting the Peter Parker frames that are featured on there. Slap those up on the screen right now for anyone that's watching on YouTube or Spotify. Yeah, see, they look pretty good. And I look forward to wearing those and just embracing my full Peter Parker potential. But yeah, back to the game itself. We have all the returning characters from the previous games, of course, you know, Peter, Miles Morales, Mary Jane Watson, Genki, that was introduced in the Miles Morales game, Rio Morales, introduced in the first one as well, Norman Osborn, and a couple other recurring characters that were introduced in the Miles Morales game. As you see, we got Hayley Cooper, who is the love interest of Miles, if I'm recalling correctly. Sorry, my mind is a little funky at the moment because I have a cracked tooth, so kind of a bit of a migraine from that, so if I sound a little off, that is why, and I am not taking any medications right now because I do not have any at my disposal. But anyways, getting sidetracked, and we have Mr. Martin Lee, Mr. Negative, introduced in the first game, and then we have also some other recurring characters, like Black Cat is featured in there, we got Aaron Davis as introduced in the Miles Morales game, and then we have some newer characters being introduced here, like we have Kraven the Hunter, we have Dr. Curtis Connors, he was introduced kinda in the post-credit scene or mid-credit scene of the Miles Morales game, and then we have a returning also Tombstone, and we have the returning Yuri Watanabe as Wraith in this game, and we have other characters that I'm not going to do a complete spoiler because it's been 3 months, but there's still a lot of people who might not have played the game, so I don't want to ruin the experience for a lot of them. And then, but other newer characters, like we have the Flame, who has an alias that's very interesting. Some of the other villains, I mean, Scorpion is in there as well, a returning villain. J. Jonah Jameson, we actually get to see more of him, like physical interactions with him, which is a lot of fun. Danica Hart, who was introduced in the Miles Morales game, the Dana cast, and some other notable Spider-Man villains like Mysterio and several others, as I already mentioned. Oh, and then the opening mission of the game, which I'm not gonna say it's not really a spoiler because it's how the game kicks off. We have a fun mission with Sandman, kind of similar to the Miles Morales intro game where it's Peter and Miles taking on Rhino, and this one it's Peter and Miles teaming up to take down Flint Marko, Sandman. It's really fun. And also what I really liked, because in the Miles Morales game you have the option of doing like a recap of the events of the previous game to kind of get you up to speed onto the story of this one if you haven't played it. If you didn't play the first game, it's a lot of fun. Or if you have played it, then like me, you just like to, you know, get a quick refresher. It's a good little refresher. They do that again in this game as well, and I really like the way they did this one, because it's like Miles and Peter are kind of sounds like they're interviewing each other, kind of hyping each other up, which is really cool. And it cuts to Miles, he's in school, and Peter's trying to get a job as a teacher, or it's his first day teaching over there, and of course they get called to action, take on Flint Marko, and that's a whole fun sequence that really sets the tone and the pace for a lot of things that are to come throughout the rest of the game, because it's like, and the after effects of this initial fight with Sandman are felt throughout the rest of the game, and like the sand is literally throughout New York City for the rest of the game, long after this story has already completed with Flint. And let me just read like the quick little synopsis of the game. Let me pull it up right here. Peter starts his first day as a physics teacher and with Miles among his students, but they are interrupted by an attack by Sandman, requiring both of them to subdue him. Fired for abandoning the class, Peter returns to his Aunt May's home in Queens, which that's another cool thing. He actually gets to go to Queens and Brooklyn throughout the game, which is a lot of fun. In Aunt May's home in Queens, which he has moved into following her death, as we saw in the first game, you know, as it came from the Devil's Breath. And he goes in to meet with Mary Jane. They are surprised to see Harry, who has miraculously recovered from his terminal illness. And then Harry hires Peter to work at his environmental technology startup, the Emily May Foundation, EMF. Emily is Harry's mother, May is May Parker, you know, Aunt May, so they can pursue his dream of healing the world. And concurrently, Kraven and his hunters secretly infiltrate New York. And that's an interesting way it's introduced with that, with his, he is trying to find his next great hunt, because he feels like his entire life he has not, you know, found that, I guess, that the right person to succeed him and take his place, you know, or whatever it is. It's again, mine is a little funky because of my tooth, but you know, it is what it is. And then we get a lot of fun interactions and locations, like Coney Island is a fun spot, and as someone who used to go to Coney Island a lot as a kid, it was fun getting to see that featured in the game in a very, very pivotal moment in the game. And this is where we actually get to see, I mean, it was teased in the previous games of Harry with the Venom symbiote, and we actually get to see it in action in this game, which I have seen a lot of people criticizing that they didn't like the story for Harry and for the Venom symbiote. And I get it, because these are people that are the purest for the comic book purist, and everything has to be exactly like the source material, and I get that, and to an extent I can agree to it. But I'm okay with them taking those creative liberties, as long as it's the story told is a good one, is a compelling one, and is an understandable and believable story. And I accepted that this Venom symbiote story was not going to be the traditional story that we've seen in the comics, in the cartoons, in the live-action films with Eddie Brock's and all that stuff. You know, because I know a lot of people were really hoping that we were going to get a callback to the 90s animated series of
Shocker! You can't escape me! I'll chase you to the ends of the earth!
But again, I am okay with them taking the creative liberties if the story is a good one, at least my subjective opinion, if it serves the story and it's a good, compelling story. And much like how I said in the Uncharted review for the movie, that I'm okay with them not doing a complete beat-by-beat replication of the stories that we know from the previous versions of the IP. If you want it to be exactly like that, then just go back to that version. With Uncharted, if you wanted it to be just like the games, then just go play the games. With the Spider-Man game, if you want it to be like the comic books, then just go read the comic book. I'm okay with them taking the creative liberties and the creative left turns that we get in this story. Harry being overtaken by the symbiote, and there comes a point in the story, which this will probably be the only like spoiler that I'll give for the game, because again, I don't want to give too much away for anyone who has not played it yet and plans on playing it. You know, I'll give you a spoiler warning. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Peter dies, and the symbiote transfers itself from Harry to Peter, and boom, he's healed and back to life, and we get Black Suit Spider-Man, and little by little, we see the suit overtaking him, as we are familiar with throughout the story of so many decades of Spider-Man stories and different iterations of Spider-Man. This is the one constant of it with the Venom symbiote, that it takes over him, and he is not the Peter Parker and the Spider-Man that New York City knows and loves. And then we do get the same beats that we've seen in the comics, the cartoons, and the movies, with like the sound of like a bell, the gong sound triggers that sensitivity to sound that the symbiote has, and it happens throughout the game, happens several times throughout, in different missions, different fights, different occurrences. The whole thing of it is that this ailment that Harry has, the Venom symbiote had healed him and was keeping him alive. So the whole thing was they were trying to get Dr. Kirk Connors, who was treating Harry, trying to get him to help get the symbiote back to Harry so that Harry can be okay. And just as the story progresses, the symbiote gets a greater hold and grasp and control of Peter. Peter just starts to slowly descend into the darker side of him, and the whole conflict of just, I mean, we already know, we all, again, anyone who's familiar with the Venom story knows what it does to Peter, that he is not the symbol of hope, and ideal of hope, and beacon of hope, or beacon of light, or whatever you want to call it, the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. He is not that. He is the not friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. I know it's not the most creative thing, but whatever. But then we also get like a lot of the side missions that are throughout the game. We get it through, what was it, as I introduced in the Miles Morales game, the Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man app that is headed by Genki. What's fun about that, like, you can, depending on the missions, you can swap between playing as Peter or as Miles, because there will be certain missions that you can play as either or, and certain ones that are character specific. Like one of the missions that, you know, remember Howard that we see introduced in the first game, we also had another mission with him in the second game. They know all about his pigeons. We get a side mission with him in this game that, I'm not gonna lie, hit me right in the feels. And that's the other thing with some of the side missions in this game, very emotional, a lot more emotional than what I was expecting, and not ashamed to admit I shed a few tears. It's, you know, I'm a sensitive guy to begin with, but just, yeah, I was not expecting the emotional little hits that this game was going to give. I mean, other than the obvious ones, kind of like what we got in the first game when Aunt May died, and then when the Miles Morales game when Finn died, when Jefferson Davis dies as well. Sorry to spoil for anyone who had not played those two games. Some of those side missions from the Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man app, yeah, just surprisingly more emotional than I expected them to be. But I'm okay with that, you know, because not everything has to be a grand spectacle, grand action piece, action set piece, whatever you want to call it. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed this game, and I've seen so many people on Insomniac's social media hounding them about where's the new game plus, where's the DLCs, where's all this other stuff. Listen, I understand you want more. I do too. But you also gotta understand, they just dealt with the whole thing of their stuff being hacked, and these people holding them up for money, and when they didn't give in to these hackers to give them money, they leaked out all their stuff. And not just gaming stuff, they leaked out personal information of the employees there. That is beyond fucked up, come on. You know, and all you're caring about is, when am I gonna get my new game plus? Who gives a shit? Let them recover from this scandal, this hacking incident, whatever you want to call it. No, scandal's probably not the right term. Let them recover from that, get their shit figured out and sorted out and back together. Then they can relaunch the new game plus and the DLCs and everything else that's coming for this game. Give that time. I am more than content with waiting however long they need to. I have plenty of games in my backlog to keep me occupied. I'm good. I will patiently wait for New Game Plus and whatever else is coming for Spider-Man 2. I'm not as desperate for it like some of these other people are. Got into a whole thing with it on with somebody on Instagram about it too. It's just like hundreds and hundreds of people just getting on me for calling them impatient. And it's like I'm good. If I don't get a New Game Plus for a while, I'm good. I have my Last of Us games. I have my other wrestling games, you know, God of War, Tomb Raider, all these other games in my backlog that I can be occupied with. I'm good. When they release the New Game Plus and other additional DLC for Spider-Man 2, I'll be there for it. I'm good. But all these people that are just like, oh, you know, we paid $70 and this is an incomplete game. But these are the same people that were praising it as Game of the Year and bitched about it when it didn't get all the awards at the Game Awards last year. Now, like I said, these people are spoiled and ungrateful, and they tell me, oh, we're spoiled because we paid $70 and we didn't get blah, blah. And I said, you're spoiled because you're expecting something that was never promised to you. That is spoiled. It was never promised that you were going to get New Game Plus on launch, as far as I know, at least. Nerds, am I right? But yeah. Phenomenal game. The gameplay is just slightly upped from the previous two entries. We get the addition of the web wings, which they did kind of reference it in the first Spider-Man game, but this time we actually get to use it and functioning, which is a lot of fun, where you get to navigate throughout the city and get to alternate between. That's the word that I was trying to look for with the Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man app, alternate. Yeah, you get to alternate between gliding with the web wings or swinging through the city, and it's fun because there is one trophy that I am trying really hard to get where it says using the web wings only, you fly from the financial district to Astoria, and every time I've tried to attempt that, it does not. I just barely miss it, but it's okay. Yeah, I'll get that platinum trophy eventually. You know, just like I did for the first Spider-Man game, where I platinumed it on the original PS4 version and did it again on the remaster, which is funny because then I got platinum trophy on The Last of Us Part 2, just got the platinum trophy again on the remaster, so it's like twice. Got a platinum trophy on a PS4 game, got the platinum trophy on the PS5 remaster of the same games. It's just funny to me how that works out. If I had to give this game a score, as of right now, I would say, just my subjective opinion, scale of 10, I would give it a 9. And I'm leaving that little bit of room just to see what the DLC stuff is going to be. Oh yeah, didn't even touch on some of the costumes that they have in the game. Like, I love how they have all the... I mean, technically, they don't have all the cinematic Spider-Man suits, because the one, the Toby suit from the first Spider-Man movie, is different from what he wears in Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 3, and then Spider-Man No Way Home. So they don't have that, but that's just, you know, being nitpicky. But yeah, they have the Toby suit that we saw in the first Spider-Man game as well, and we get the black suit version from Spider-Man 3. We have both Amazing Spider-Man Andrew Garfield suits from the first movie and then Amazing Spider-Man 2 and No Way Home, and we got all the Tom Holland suits, his homemade suit, the upgrade suit that Tony gives him, the Iron Spider suit introduced in Infinity War, the stealth suit and upgrade suit from Far From Home, the upgraded suit that's in No Way Home, the Inside Out suit that he has in No Way Home, and we get the final suit that he has at the end of No Way Home when he's swinging through New York City during Christmas time, which that is so cool that they actually have that in there. And we also get the Spider-Man Noir suit from Into the Spider-Verse, and several other different fun suits. We get a cool little hunter suit, you know, inspired by Kraven the Hunter, and some of the suits that Miles has. Like, he has different versions of the Spider-Verse suits. Like, he has the original, the one that he, with the store-bought suit, with the cape, which actually, yeah, they even still has the price tag on the suit, if you get it at the right angle and look under the cape, and then they have his Miles suit, and then they have his across the Spider-Verse suit as well, which is really cool, and different other suits. Like, they have a Wakanda inspired kind of suit, a Black Panther inspired suit called the Forever suit. They have it's a lot of cool looking suits like that. There's a Mysterio inspired suit as well that looked really cool. And then also we got some of the other suits that they introduced in the previous games. Like there's the Prowler inspired suit for Miles, the anti-Ock suit from the first game for Peter, and so on and so on. Yeah, it's really cool. So whenever I do get to do another playthrough of this game, I'm gonna see about which of those suits I can play as. Like I said, if I have to give it a rating scale of 1 to 10, I give it a 9. And only because I'm just leaving that little extra room, like I said, for whatever the DLC stuff is going to be. And that's going to do it for this video game review for Marvel's Spider-Man 2. And if you haven't checked out my other reviews for the first Marvel Spider-Man and Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales, I will link both of those episodes in the description for this one for y'all to check out. And thank you all so much for watching, for listening, for subscribing. And of course, if you're not subscribed, please do so. You know, YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, all the fun stuff. Check the link down there in the description. It has all the information there. And support me on my Manatides Podcast store. I am working on some new merchandise. Not just with me, other people that I've talked about that are good at graphic design stuff that are helping me out with that. And I'm hoping to eventually getting a new logo as well, so be on the lookout for that, which I will of course turn into a t-shirt. And check out my other content that I have on here, my movie reviews like my Uncharted review, other podcasts that I've had on here, which I will have my Royal Rumble predictions later this week, either Wednesday or Thursday night. Either Wednesday or Thursday, I'll have my Royal Rumble predictions. I was going to try to do them earlier in this week, but wanted to wait to see what was going to happen with Seth Rollins on Raw this couple hours ago as I'm recording this. So now that I got all that information, and you know, because I was working during Raw, I'm going to watch the Punk and Cody Rhodes promo and give my thoughts on that on the next episode. So tune into that. Again, either Wednesday or Thursday, I will have that next episode of the podcast with my Royal Rumble predictions. And if you want to reach out, you can either comment on the YouTube video to give your thoughts on the game, if you've played the game, if you haven't played the game, if you know, if you have not played any of the previous games in the Insomniac Spider-Man series and I spoiled these things for you, sorry. But yeah, leave a comment on the YouTube video. You can also reach out to me on Instagram, Threads, Snapchat, TikTok. I've been posting some fun stuff on there if y'all want to check that out. Vero as well. Those links will be in the description too. And you can also check out my stores, my Poshmark and eBay stores that I've been, you know, trying to sell a couple of things to clear out some space and also to, you know, put a little funds in my pocket as I'm, you know, getting ready to try to get myself into Philadelphia for WrestleMania 40. And help fund my WrestleMania trip if you can. And also all the help fund other fun stuff that I do on here. If y'all want to get some new fun stuff, you know, maybe some props that I can put in the background to enhance the visual experience of the Manatides Podcast for those of you who watch me on YouTube and on Spotify, because on Spotify you get to watch the video version of this as well. And this has been my review of Marvel Spider-Man 2. I am Julian, and I will see all of you on the next one. Bye-bye.